let's talk a little bit about prep before and after. So prep before and then what you do after the fast.
Well, the longer people prep with a vegan SOS-free diet, the less miserable they're going to be fasting because the less toxic they're going to be by the time they go into the fast. And I have to tell you, I've had many people that have done such a good long prep, but that by the time it comes time to do their fast, they really don't need to do the fast because they've already accomplished the problem, resolved the problem they set out to take care of. So that really, remember, no matter how long you fast or if you fast, the big issue is health is a result of healthful living, and healthful living is involving diet, sleep, and exercise. So that's got to be the fundamental component of the program before and after. So if we prep people properly before fasting, where they eat a diet of fruits and vegetables and avoid all the processed garbage that's getting them into trouble to begin with, when they go on the fast, they tend to be much less miserable. They have a much easier transition to fasting and a much more effective fasting process. And the longer you can do that, the better. And then after fasting, perhaps the most important part of the experience is that appropriate progressive termination. Because a lot of the materials that are mobilized during fasting are actually processed and eliminated as you come off the fast. So too rapid a return to feeding or inappropriate return to feeding after the fast can minimize some of the benefits that would otherwise occur. In our facility, we require a minimum time of half the length of the fast for refeeding in a controlled setting. And during that time, we use a day of juice for every 7 to 10 days of fasting. And we do a day of raw food only for every 7 to 10 days of fasting. And then we'll progressively introduce other food products as indicated for the individual, whether it's more concentrated products like raw nuts and seeds or steamed or starchy vegetable materials.
I remember coming off of a fast, and the first 2 days I ate just fruit, and then I secretly snuck some beans, and I remember feeling really, really serious, like heartburn.
Yeah, it's inappropriate to put very concentrated products in too quickly because you'll overload the body's ability as it gears back up after fasting. That's why we have this kind of progressive return to avoid untoward symptoms that people will get.
Yeah.
And it's best done that in a controlled setting because most people, frankly, are addicts. And they're addicted to the artificial stimulation of dopamine in their brain that comes from the use of the chemicals that we add to our food, like oil, salt, and sugar. And that includes people that are, despite their best efforts, trying to do, say, for example, a raw food vegan diet, and yet they're eating lots of oil, sugar, and salt, or they're using, you know, things like agave, or they're using all kinds of other processed food products. And although they think they're doing themselves a favor, over the long run, many patients actually compromise their health from the use of these processed chemicals.
We get a few emails from time to time about people who are exercising fairly vigorously during a water fast, so they're going to
That would be strongly contraindicated because you have to remember when you're fasting, the reason why the body fasts and is able to adapt so well is because it conserves its resources and converts from burning glucose, which is the normal fuel of the body, to burning ketones, which are a byproduct of fat metabolism. If you increase activity, even mild activity, you double caloric utilization, which means you're going to increase the amount of glucose you need, which means you're going to increase the amount of protein you need to mobilize through gluconeogenesis. That means when you're too active, you burn protein instead of fat. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to conserve the protein and nutrients, and we're trying to burn the fat stores. And in order to do that, you have to rest. So it's a little counterintuitive, but that's by far the most effective way to mobilize and detoxify the body, maximize fat loss, minimize protein loss.
Is yoga appropriate or maybe some more gentle stretching?
For most people that are fasting, they're able to go through yoga, at least gentle yoga, maybe not some of the more vigorous yoga practices, but the gentle yoga meditation classes and education classes are an instrumental part of what we do. We have classes twice a day every day.
If money wasn't an issue for a patient, what would be the ideal fasting protocol that you would put them through?
Well, it does vary from person to person. Water fasting ranges from zero because it's not appropriate to up to 40 days, and recovery is a minimum of half the length of the fast. So the typical patient that we see here is usually motivated by health problem. They're overweight, they have high blood pressure or diabetes, or they have rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or something like that, and they're going to spend between 3 and 6 weeks with us. And so they may have a period of 2 to 3 weeks of fasting and some recovery time, maybe a little bit of lead-in time. I have some people that are here as little as a week because they come in, they're basically healthy, they're just trying to do a little fast, clean, you know, reboot their system, get a fresh start. Other people are here as long as a year. because they need a wholesale lifestyle change, and they have to overcome their addictions, and they've got issues, and so they'll live with us long enough so that they're ready to go home and live on their own without getting caught back into the pleasure trap.
What are some of the complementary therapies that you'd recommend, just for in general, for most people?
Well, the most important thing is rest. And so, you know, that's what we try to focus on. We do have a number of practitioners on staff. As I said, we have chiropractors that offer a variety of manual therapy services for those problems that have mechanical basis. We have naturopathic physicians. We have a psychologist, a brilliant gentleman who offers cognitive behavioral therapy for people to help them deal with their psychological issues. We have instructors that teach yoga, meditation, and you know, food preparation classes. We have a wonderful chef who does a great job with our food program, and they're all involved in our educational program and classes. We have an extensive educational program that's on DVDs and videos that people can watch at their own pace while they're here on a variety of subjects.
You have a new book out, correct?
We're very excited. It's taken us 2 years. We finally finished a book by our chef called Bravo. And it is a vegan SOS-free book that shows people what they need to know to be able to deal with both raw and cooked foods in a healthful way. And he's done a great job, and he's put the recipes that we use here at the center, and I think that's going to be very well received by folks interested in healthful living.
And they can find that on healthpromoting.com?
They will find it. Yeah, we're waiting on the shipment from the printer right now, but it'll be on our website. I believe it's already on Amazon.com, and it should be available through the bookstores as well.
Great. It's funny that you mentioned rest, because every time I will recommend True North to someone to check out, they say, do they have Wi-Fi? So, kind of like the individual searching for a way to not actually have to do one of the things that's best for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it always comes back to diet, sleep, and exercise. And, you know, so you can't short circuit or cut those out. Those are the fundamental foundations for health and healthful living. And once you do the diet, sleep, and exercise, generally people do so well that all the other stuff kind of becomes peripheral.
Yeah, which is interesting, because it seems everyone wants to reach for the next coolest herb or the secret solution.
Everybody's, what they're trying to do is continue to feed their addictions without actually escaping the pleasure trap, because escaping the pleasure trap is the most difficult thing people ever do in their life. And so what we're trying to do is create an environment where they're able to escape the pleasure trap physically and intellectually, so they understand what, why, and how they're going to need to change in order to be able to live in the world and still be healthy.
For those of you who don't know what the pleasure trap is, this is Dr. Goldhammer's book with Dr. Doug Lyle. Can you just explain that for people who might not have
sure. Our premise is that the hidden force that's undermining health and happiness, the reason why people are fat, sick, and miserable, is because we're fooling our satiation mechanisms in our brain. We're actually fooling our brain by exposing ourselves to certain chemicals that are added to our foods. And those chemicals include oil and sugar and salt. And so what happens when you put those highly processed chemicals on our food, whether it's raw food or cooked food, the brain doesn't get the appropriate stimulation. It gets an artificial stimulation of dopamine, and although that makes food, quote, taste good, it makes people feel good, it ultimately compromises our health. And it does the same thing for humans or animals or any other creatures that are exposed to these substances. And so the key to our program is not only developing a vegan diet to avoid the problems of animal foods, but also becoming SOS-free, or sugar, oil, and salt-free.
What's the best candidate for fast? What are some of the things you've seen the most success with?
Well, I personally enjoy people that are sick and miserable and highly motivated by pain, because people that have gotten to the point where life is hardly worth living are often prepared to do anything. They'll even eat good, exercise, go to bed on time, and undergo a fast. And so they're highly motivated, and I like motivated patients. Probably the person that stands to gain the most from fasting, though, is the healthy person that isn't using drugs and isn't addicted to the pleasure trap, but uses it as a chance, much like you would reboot a computer. Sometimes you reboot a computer and you clear out a lot of debris, and you may never even know exactly where that corruption came from, but everything kind of starts fresh. And the same thing happens to human beings that undergo fasting. It's just, it reboots their neuroadaptive mechanisms, their taste mechanisms. It has a profound psycho-spiritual effect. It affects their sympathetic, their autonomic nervous system. It helps them resolve the gut leakage and insulin resistance that's so common in people. It induces detoxifying enzyme systems. It helps them eliminate the excess salt and sodium that tends to accumulate, and it facilitates weight loss. So there's many mechanisms that occur when you do nothing intelligently, which essentially is what fasting is.
You mentioned hypertension before. What about blood sugar for diabetics? Does it make it go crazy for a while and then it levels off? How does that
actually
work?
No, in type 2 diabetics, that is diabetics that make enough insulin but are not using it because of insulin resistance, the most powerful insulin resistance resolver that we've come across is water-only fasting. And around 80% of our type 2 diabetic patients actually get enough improvement that they can eliminate the need for their medication. And some patients will continue to require some medication, then with long enough time and diligence, many of them also recover to the point. Now, I'm talking about type 2 diabetics right now, not type 1 diabetics, where they've actually destroyed the islet cells in their pancreas by drinking milk and having their immune system destroy their systems. Those individuals often will continue to require insulin. But for type 2 diabetics, these are people that actually make more insulin than they should, but it's not working, and in large part because of the dietary pleasure trap, which causes them to be overweight and causes insulin resistance. The best way to approach that, therapeutic water-only fasting.
We've talked before about your views on cancer and fasting. Can you share some of those?
Yeah, I think, you know, we see cancer is not just one condition, but a variety of conditions, and it's kind of an unfortunate state where the body's normal protective mechanisms have been overridden. I wouldn't advocate fasting as some magic cure for cancer, but I would suggest that people that have cancer, that are suffering with it, that are recovering from the treatment of it, often do benefit tremendously from fasting. You know, we see cancer as a management strategy rather than a magic cure strategy. So the idea is to get the person as healthy as possible so their immunological system can keep things at check. And that's going to be true whether they have medical treatment or not. In other words, I would say that there are some situations where there's evidence that people that undergo medical treatment, for example, will do better than people that don't. But that doesn't in any way negate their need to adopt healthful living habits.
So let's talk a little bit about caregivers, because it might be scary for someone to go up to, you know, Santa Rosa and be there alone in a fasting situation. Do you think a caregiver is useful in a case like that?
Well, I think that most patients that we see are very comfortable here. We have excellent staff that provide them their housekeeping, their food needs. They're seen twice a day by a staff doctor, routinely as a part of rounds. We have doctors that live on site 24/7. So I think the level of support and care here is designed for people undergoing fasting. We certainly understand they're going to have anxiety, that it's going to be uncomfortable, they're going to be nervous. You know, sometimes it's almost, it's amazing the degree of anxiety people experience. I know recently we had a situation where a police officer showed up at the facility and had asked to see one of the patients. And I asked him, you know, what did they do? And he said, oh, no, they didn't do anything. It's just the relatives called and filed a complaint and said that their relative was being held here against their will by religious cultists and they were being starved to death so they could go to be with Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
And, obviously there's a high degree of anxiety amongst our patients and sometimes amongst their family members. The fact is that fasting is a safe and effective biological adaptation. When it's done properly, it works very well. And, you know, we pride ourselves on trying to select appropriate candidates and monitor them carefully. And that's how we've been able to do this for 30 years so successfully.
Is anxiety a physical or emotional symptom?
Well, it's both. There's both emotional and physical components to anxiety. A lot of people now are having extreme difficulties with anxiety, in large part because of the medications that are given to people, including children, for the mitigation of those symptoms. And those medications often make their symptoms worse. The benzodiazepines, for example, they work initially to alleviate the symptoms. The brain will adapt over time to their use, increase D2 receptors, making the anxiety situations even worse, particularly when you try to withdraw those medications, which can trap people in some cases indefinitely, into a cycle of dependence on these health-compromising medications. And so, you know, our job is to help create a safe and effective environment to help wean the medications and allow the nervous system to get back to some semblance of balance so people can recover from these often debilitating conditions, including anxiety disorders.
What's your 10-year vision for your work? You know, if you were to look back and, you know, 10 years from now and say, you know, wow, you know, this is what I wanted, what is the outlook?
We have a very specific plan that we're undertaking right now to expand some of the services that we offer. We've been able to acquire access to an adjacent facility, so we've been able to add a little bit more capacity to make up for the fact that we've been having trouble with getting enough space. We've hired a couple excellent new doctors to join our staff. We've initiated a research program. We've formed a 501c3 nonprofit foundation called the True North Health Foundation, which is currently raising money to help fund our research efforts. We have connections now with our internship program, where we're training doctors from all around the world that are interested in acquiring the skills to effectively use fasting in their own practices. We're seeing a variety of patients from all around the world coming in with the conditions that we think are likely to respond the best. We have big ambitions in terms of research and the conditions that we reach out to. We expect to be doing studies later in the year addressing lupus, addressing asthma, as well as the high blood pressure and diabetes programs that are already underway. So I think, you know, in terms of research and just getting the word out, public education, that there are answers to some of these problems that people are basically giving up on, that it's not helpless and hopeless, but it will require modification of their diet and lifestyle if they hope to get and achieve optimum health.
So you've seen results, hypertension, diabetes, lupus, asthma, any others?
Well, autoimmune disorders in general respond very well, and there's a wide variety of them, ranging from psoriasis and eczema and asthma to ulcerative colitis, to gastritis. There's many of these itis or inflammatory conditions that are caused or aggravated in part by dietary excess. They tend to respond very well to our approach of fasting and a vegan SOS-free diet. Certainly, cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, these are also conditions caused or aggravated by dietary excess, and as expected, they would respond very well. We're also seeing a higher percentage of people that are actually quite healthy now and are using fasting as a means to just give their body a chance to reboot itself, even though they haven't yet compromised themselves to the point where they have serious illnesses. And that's been an interesting experience, getting a chance to work with some healthy people as well.
You mentioned the family, you know, not being comfortable before, and I kind of laugh. How can someone, if they choose to go do a fast, what is the best place to point their family members to kind of get them at ease?
Well, a lot of times we encourage people to come as a family unit, and we do have suites where husband, wife, and children can come together. And although the children may not, for example, be fasting, they may be participating in our education and our feeding programs, it gets everybody a chance to see the person that is fasting go through the process, and they gain a much better respect, understanding, and calm about the whole issue. And when you're in a place like this and there's several dozen other people going through the process, it tends to be reassuring and provides people a little bit of ease, because there is quite a bit of support that's offered while people are here.
And if the family can't come?
Then I think it's a question of trying to educate the family as best as possible with books and videos, so that they're cognizant of the reasons why the individual is not only doing fasting, but more importantly, why they're going to be coming home and encouraging the family to adopt a health-promoting vegan SOS-free diet.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Alan Goldhammer. You can find out more information about the True North Health Center at healthpromoting.com. And you can check out the new book, Bravo, which is a vegan cookbook. You can find that on Amazon.com as well as healthpromoting.com. Dr. Goldhammer, thanks for being on the call with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. And to everyone else out there, this is Kevin Gianni. We'll talk to you next time. Take care.